Parshat Vayechi is the final parsha in the book of Bereishit. Certain things get clarified in this parsha. Certain things get clarified we didn't even know were an issue. Yaakov gives what's called by some blessings to his sons. If one looks carefully, one will find that most of the sons don't really get blessings. Reuven doesn't get a blessing. Shimon and Levi do not get blessings. Yehuda gets a blessing. Yosef gets a blessing. And as I said, it's worthwhile looking carefully at each and every one of the sons to see what it is that Yaakov says. Yaakov speaks more in terms of things about them, and then we're not sure because it's very poetic. And we're not sure he's speaking about the future, the past, or the present. But one thing does become clear, and this in a sense is a surprise ending, or perhaps wasn't clarified until this particular point. And that is that the scepter of leadership, crown, the future king, will be Yehuda. And we didn't see it coming because we didn't realize it was an issue, or perhaps we should have. From the very beginning of the story about Yosef and his brothers, who would lead really was the question. The only point of contention is whether this was manifest and clear to us, or perhaps it was underneath the surface. But Yosef from the beginning says, "You will bow down to me." And the brothers respond and say, "Hamloch tumloch aleinu? Hamashol tumshol banu? Will you really be the king? Will you really rule over us?" The brothers don't seem to accept that Yosef will in fact be king. It's not clear what their objection is. Is it the personality of Yosef itself? Or is there something else? Do they already have some kind of intuition that Yehuda is going to be the one to lead? All this isn't clear. But as I said, perhaps we should have had a hint about this from the very beginning. Because a little bit before the story of Yosef begins, there was actually an introduction, and then there was a parallel introduction. The introduction was, Eila toldot Yaakov, Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov, and then it starts to tell the story of Yosef. What about all the other brothers? Normally when the Torah tells us about toldot, about the generations, it'll talk about all the descendants, of all the children at least. And for Yaakov, there was one. It was Yosef. And the brothers didn't accept that, that there was only one. And if there is only one, that it is that one. But to understand this properly, we need to go back a little before this. Because prior to this, we had a parallel Eila toldot, and that was the toldot of Esav. Now, the toldot of Esav was very interesting, and again, one needs to look into the text of the Torah to appreciate this. It goes through Esav's children, it talks about all of them, and then it does something else. It says a verse which, again, we should have been careful about, but perhaps missed. And the verse reads, Ve'ela hamalachim, and these are the kings, Esher molchu be'eretz Edom, who ruled in the land of Edom. And that's fine, the kings of Edom, but then it tells us about the parallel that we should not have missed. Lifnei malach melech livnei Yisrael, prior to there being a king who ruled among the Jewish people. That was the hint. Not just the hint. That tells us what's taking place in the rest of the book. The rest of Sefer Bereishit is who is going to lead. Esav already established which family is going to lead, and now we need to figure out in the rest of this book who is going to lead among the Jewish people. And we have two candidates. And those are the two who really received blessings from Yaakov, Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef is a tzaddik. Yosef is righteous. Yosef is decent, and Yosef is good, and Yosef deals with macros. And Yehuda sometimes is very, very difficult in his life. This past Shabbat was the yahrzeit of the Mei Shiloach, and the Mei Shiloach was a Hasidic leader, and the way that he phrased it, he says, Yosef was a litvak, but Yehuda was a chassid. Disheveled at times, his descendant David dancing at times, but two completely different personalities. Perhaps there's merit to that. But there's something else. Yehuda at times is quite cruel. Yehuda was the one who said, sell Yosef. Yehuda was the one who stepped up and said, this brother leaves. So who's going to be the king? The brother who forgives his brothers and says, I'll take care of you, I'll feed you, I'll give you homes, I'll give you jobs, which is Yosef, or the brother who's willing to be cruel and chase the brother away. Now there's something which is very counterintuitive here. If we were to ask, so who's the better brother? I think it's obvious that Yosef is the better brother. But the question over here, and this is the question that needs to be clarified before we finish the book, but who's going to be the king? A king sometimes has to be cruel. A king sometimes has to lead with decision, has to make decisions which are decisive. A king sometimes needs to be decisive and not be popular. So if it were a question of who really is nice and takes care of his brothers and is forgiving, Yosef is a wonderful man. But that's not the king that Yaakov is looking for, and that's what's interesting. He sees within Yehuda, with all of the, shall we say, all of the mistakes within him, all of the warts, as it were, he sees somebody who has real leadership and can be king. And therefore, before he dies, he declares Yehuda is the one who's going to lead. Yosef will receive a double portion. Yosef will receive a double portion, which really is what's given to a firstborn, because in a sense, that's what Yosef was. He acted as a firstborn. He took care of all of his brothers. But that doesn't mean that he was king or had the stuff of kingship. And if you really think about it, Yosef, in every situation he arrives in, is always number two. He's never number one. He's number two in his father's home, and he's number two in Potiphar's home, and he's number two in prison, and he's number two in Paro's kingdom. Never the leader, always the right-hand man. Yehuda, though, he will be leader.